works to earn or merit salvation or anything else from the Lord. And just want to remind you that all these messages are put in the in our website, lmclabelle.org, and you can go on their sermons and go quite a few years back and get sermons that, for some reason, if you couldn't make it last week, and this week is sort of a continuation, so that you can catch up later on during the week or even today. Last Sunday, one of the things that, we talked about was that many times attitude is more important than actions. And I think I said that several times. Today I want to say that even though that is true, that doesn't take away the importance of actions. You know, I remember as I grew up, I heard this saying many times, the road to hell is paved up with a lot of good intentions. You know, people just intend to do things, but they didn't do anything about it. Oh, yeah, one day, and we just put it off. We like to procrastinate, don't we? You may think you may need Jesus, but if you never take action to ask him to come to your heart and to become your Savior, you will still end up in hell. Even though Jesus has already paid everything that you need to be saved and headed to heaven. We also saw last time that when we walk in love, we are walking in the Spirit. We are being led by the Spirit. And we started looking in Galatians chapter 5 that said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, you know, the scripture talks about that when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, correct? And that's found in Galatians 5:16. When we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we walk in love, we will fully fulfill what we talked about last time, the Mosaic Law and all the rules, 614 different do's and don'ts written that we couldn't keep. And the Jews are still trying to keep them to earn salvation. It has all been given freely to us when we walk in the Spirit. And so, if we listen and do the dictates of our reborn human spirit, we will walk in the Spirit of love. And we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, is what the scripture is saying. Our spirit, when quickened by the Holy Spirit, will never lead us in oppositions to God's desire and will for us. Walking by the flesh produces a product that may seem pleasurable and appealing. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, the faith chapter, and there it says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I think the King James talks about enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. This so-called pleasure out of sin is short-lived. We have all been there. We have all experienced it. Sins of hate, sins of disobedience, sexual sins, covetous sins, and on and on and on. You know, at the time we think we can't live without doing those things. And then, after a while, after doing them, we end up disappointed, empty, remorseful, hating ourselves for having fell into that silly sin that really didn't last. The example that the world gives that reminds us of it so often is how, you know, the two brothers, Esau and Jacob, were both children of Isaac. And one of them was supposed to follow the line of promise. And Esau was the older one, and usually the birthright would follow through the older one. Well, he was so hungry, he said, "I'm dying." And Jacob said, "Well, I'll give you a pot of soup if you sell me your birthright." And he said, "What good is my birthright if I'm going to die here of famine?" Well, he wasn't dying. It was just the lust of his flesh was taking over, and he yielded to it. And he neglected the importance of his birthright. And because of it, he sold his birthright for some fleshly desire that only lasted, what, an hour? Probably after an hour, he was hungry again. And then after that, the scripture says that he even sought repentance and couldn't find it, even though he sought it with tears. We cannot be led of the flesh, because he will just give us a very momentary pleasure, and then after that, it's downhill. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it mentions some of the works of the flesh. And we're going to take a quick look at them because we need to recognize them. Sometimes we get the negative aspect of things and we get a better picture sometimes if we're looking into the positive ones. And we're going to do that today. We're going to look at the negative aspect of us walking in the flesh and those kind of things that we tend to fall into. In Galatians 5:19, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So we're going to start looking at these, and because some of these words, we hear them. We know they're bad, but we don't know really what they're all about. So we're going to look slowly. Well, not that slow, but we're going to look at them. The first one mentioned is adultery. Adultery is illicit sexual activity by a married individual with someone other than the spouse. So if you're not married, you cannot commit adultery. So, this is for the married people. The second one, though, is called fornication. And fornication is illicit sexual activity by an unmarried person. So, we got them both covered here in this type of sin. They're both sexual sin. One is called adultery, the other one fornication. The next one, it's called uncleanness. Uncleanness has to deal with the thoughts, that we allow in our head that lead us to sexual sin. You know, it all starts in the mind. Anything that we get involved with, it first has to go through the mind before it goes to actual action. Next one is lewdness. And this has to do when unclean thoughts constantly controls the actions of a person. They have given themselves to sexual cravings. They have become in bondage. And it's called lewdness. Next one is idolatry. That is a big subject, and that was one of the main things that God tried to take from the people of Israel. And it boils down to giving more importance to anything other than God. As simple as that. Giving more importance to anything other than God. And all of a sudden we realize, you know, there are a lot of things in our life that can come before God that we have prioritized over God. Money, power, position, fame, work, glory, and on and on and on. You know, all of those things in themselves are not bad. But when you put them above God and his priorities, then it becomes idolatry. Next one is called sorcery. Sorcery involves dealing with the occult and wicked spirits. The word sorcery, the Greek word translated sorcery, is the word pharmakia. That's very close to the word pharmacy. Has to do with drugs, good or bad. Well, sorcery, even though it deals with the occult and wicked spirits, there's usually some kind of drugs involved. So drugs and occult practices usually go hand in hand. Next one, hatred. Hatred is an internal sin, is a mental sin of personal hostility towards somebody else. It's all in the head. And you know, you may be smiling outside, but inside you say, I hate you. I despise you, you know, and that's a mental sin. And usually we can pretend, but God is looking at the heart. And so these are the kind of things that we have to be looking at to see if we are habitually falling into this, because there's going to be a catch later on. After hatred comes contentions. Contention is another mental sin, meaning disagreement. When somebody else has a different viewpoint than I got, and I just start pouting and fighting and creating division out of it because they think different than I, that's called contention. You're a contentive person. Contentious person. Next one, jealousies. This word tends to apply, it's got a little more emphasis to spiritual matters. But jealousies are an attitude that will not cooperate unless it gets its own way. Synonym for jealousies can be called ambition or rivalry. And it is especially damaging in spiritual matters when we think we know more than others, when we you know, we wish that that minister would fall so I will look great, you know, and stuff like that. So we have to watch out for our attitudes. Remember, attitudes speak sometimes louder than actions. Next one is called outbursts of wrath. And outbursts of wrath is the outward manifestations of inward hatred. What we call hatred, which was in the heart, when you hate enough that it manifests outwardly, is called wrath, or outbursts of wrath. Next one, selfish ambition. That's discord or disharmony. This word is originally used as a musical term. You know, when you have a band, like we do, you know, they flow in a, as an orchestra, as a band, to create music with harmony in between the instrument. They don't play the same thing, but they harmonize with each other, and it creates something beautiful. Well, this dissension, where was it? Surface ambition is like the guitarist decided to play his own stuff. Sorry, Jose. Or Rick. Or even Matthew, for that matter. It's a musical term. You know, it has to do with temper tantrums, complaining, troublemaking. You know, it happens in a group, you know. You by yourself would not have this problem of selfish ambition because this is a group setting. An orchestra is never a one person. So it's a group-related sin and usually happens because there's no love. You don't consider one another. It's all about you, and you're the one that wants to just shine above others. Next one, dissensions. Dissensions differ from selfish ambitions in the fact that it's division over viewpoints, not necessarily personalities. You know, in selfish ambitions, I may not like Jose and I'm going to play the guitar my way just to make him look bad. But in dissensions, it doesn't have to do with personalities. It's viewpoint. I don't think he's playing that note right, and so I'm going to disagree with him, and I'm going to get into an argument. Dissensions in the Christian walk tends to look like spiritual treason. And you know, we have seen many church splits over dissensions, you know, for all kinds of, we're supposed to be spiritual, but it ends up being, I don't like the corporate color, you know. Or I don't like the decision of do this, that, and the other, you know. You fill in the blanks. After dissension, and this is, again, let me remind you, this is works of the flesh. Sins. Heresies have to do with an opinion that is contrary to the word of God. It usually starts as a sedition. Let me see, where was that? You remember, I don't know if you remember, but I'm going to tell you. We got born again in a church that is called a oneness church. And, you know, after we left that church, I did some research and got some information from others that said, you know, the church started, you know, a united body of Christ, and then people started having problems with the way baptism was being done. And some people would baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And others thought, no, all of the apostles baptized in the name of Jesus. And so they look at that as a formula rather than as an act, a baptism, just identification with Christ. And there was a church split. And there was a denominational split. And then, you know, that if that was not bad enough, then the people that believe that everyone should be baptized in the name of Jesus, not in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because those were titles. Jesus was a name. And so you baptize in the name of Jesus, not on the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so they made a spiritual doctrine that say, oh, we're oneness, we're not Trinity anymore. And then they really got into scriptural discord, into saying, well, you know, we are, Jesus is everything. And, you know, there's no Father and Son and Holy Spirit. They're all one. Yes, that's true. But they just saw it like that. And then they went to the point of saying, well, you know, even though Jesus was everything, you couldn't be fully born again unless you were filled by the Holy Spirit. What a mess. Now, Jesus is everything, but we want the Holy Spirit to fill you and so that you can speak in tongues and then you're fully saved. See, this is deviating from what Scripture talks about. So that was beginning to fall into a heresy. Now, I do have some brothers and sisters that are oneness, and I love them to death. The ones that led us to the Lord, they're just beautiful people. But they just are ignorant of the full counsel of the Word because of some outward thing. And so what we do is we fellowship with them. They love Jesus just as much as we do. And, you know, we embrace him. We try getting there. Back then, they wouldn't accept it. So we gave that up. So we don't touch a subject. We talk everything else except those subjects that they have disagreement. And we try to show in the Word. And they would not listen. Love them to death, and Jesus will straighten them out, because after all, they belong to him. So, when to stay away from heresies, that's why we center so much on the Word. That's why I like to present the Word always to you, because sometimes you don't bring your Bibles, and you think you got it in your phone, but you don't get it out either, except to watch videos and see who's calling you. All right, enough about that. Enough works of the flesh, right? Next one is called envy. It is another mental sin. It is a mental sin of jealousy. Now, this one is directed at a person. You know, jealousy is directed to a person. But envy, I mean, it's like a shotgun. I mean, it's just scattered all over. A people that ends up with envy feels like everybody gets a break except me. So I hate everybody. Everybody's better than I am. That's envy. Actually, that's a poor image of who you are in Christ. You need to go and hear the Wednesday night teachings on who we are in Christ in Ephesians. By the way, we got it recorded if you want to hear it. All right, so we got envy. Next one is murders. Murder in the Bible is defined as a shedding of innocent blood. Murder is not the same as killing. Now, some killing may be murder, but not all killing is a murder. In Genesis 9:6, I didn't write. I didn't get the scripture, so forgive me. You have to look it up. to know that I'm saying the right thing. Genesis 9:6. I'll read 5 so you can get the context. Genesis 9:5 says, "Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning." Oh, this is when God blessing Noah after the flood and all of that. "Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning, and from the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." So God is saying that whoever sheds innocent blood, his blood will be required. Let me see. In Matthew chapter 19, chapter Matthew 19:18. Remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "What do I need to do to be saved?" And Jesus said, "Well, follow the commandment." And he said, "Which one?" And Jesus quoted from the Old Testament. He says, "You shall not murder." He didn't say kill. He said murder. That was the right translation from the Greek. Ecclesiastes 3:3 talks about, you know, there's a time for everything under heaven. And it does say that God says there's a time to kill. Well, if it was killing that was sin, then God is contradicting himself. But see, the word kill in Ecclesiastes should have been translated murder. The shedding of innocent blood. God commanded people to be killed by the Jews. See, even soldiers, they have to kill people to defend our country and our liberties. And that is sanctioned by God. Capital murder is sanctioned by the word. What is not is you shall not murder. You shall not shed innocent blood. So I want you to know the difference so you're not condemned the wrong way. Now, all life is precious. And I wouldn't want to be in a position where I have to choose if somebody would die or not. But, you know, there are some people, policemen, you know, they have to make that choice very often. And God has given the government authority to do those kind of things. So, murders. Next one. Drunkenness. Oh, buddy. And this one is a touchy one, isn't it? Let's talk about it a little bit. The definition of drunkenness is the excessive use of alcohol. And now here, we are all different, aren't we? Some of us like some things, others of us don't like anything. I hate the taste of alcohol myself. But I cannot impose that on everybody else. That's the way I do, and I act based on how I feel about alcohol. There are some people that can drink a little bit. They can drink wine with meals. But why are you drinking the wine? Why are you drinking the alcohol? Is it for you're caught in there, there's nothing else, socially, blah, 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 you know. And you hate it, but because you're caught with your boss and whatever else, you may be almost pushed into it. You know, it all depends what's your standing in Christ and what is your conviction about it. This is a very delicate subject. But the bottom line is, Why are you drinking alcoholic beverages? Is it to soothe you? Is it to relax you? Is it to put you to sleep? You see, when alcohol in your body begins to change your personality as excessive, and you may think, I become better. Better to whom? And you see it. And I'm going to share my personal conviction where I'm coming from so that you may understand if I call your attention. My generation in the past, we're talking about past generations, they drank pretty heavily. Puerto Ricans in general drink very heavily. It's a social thing, but it's beyond that. It's a personal thing. You know, when the party's over, they take the leftover beer and they go home and consume it. That's not a social drinking anymore. I want to have my beer. I want to have my wine. I want to have my little alcohol, my little cocktail. It's a social thing. But you depend on it. And very easily can become your master. And then you can't live with it. You can't be calm without it. You can't sleep without it. You can't be yourself without having some. You have become a slave of alcohol. And God says, that is drunkenness. So it is called a work of the flesh. And you need to master it. Enough of that. The last one, revelries. Because it got thick here. I didn't tell about my generation. I'm sorry. All of my family in the past drank a lot. I saw many of my uncles in bondage to drinking to the point many of them died in the 40s and 50s. Drunk. Their livers just eat up. My oldest brother died with cirrhosis of the liver. He had so much potential. I remember he was good at just about everything. And he got a hold of alcohol, and alcohol would not let him go in his early 20s. He lost his wife. He lost his children. He married after that twice, had a couple of children. He lost them. He lost that wife. He died. Poor, destitute, destroyed. And I hated alcohol because of that. I saw an uncle, no, a cousin, much older than I was. He lived in a place, you know, out away from the road, and there was a driveway with a lot of trees and stuff. And so to get the cars from the road to the house was at least a half a mile of just unpaved road. One night, his daughter was coming from work kind of late, and he ran over him because he was drunk on the ground. She didn't see him. And I was very young then, and I remember that. I said, what are this? You know, he used to be a nice guy when he was sober. Just great personality, but he had to drink and get drunk just about every day. So my experience with alcohol is very sad, and I just don't like to be around people that drink. Their personality change, their behavior change. You can tell. And people think, I'm better when I have a few drinks. Yeah, buddy. All right, back to revelries. Revelries are wild parties. Usually there's drinking there. carousing, brawling. So revelries usually involve drunkenness. So those are the kind of works of the flesh. Now, Paul added, and the like, you know, in verse 21, the first part says, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just that I also told you in times. Is that time? Wow, I'm being long-winded today. I'm sorry, I apologize. I got caught up with the drinking. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those which practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That sounds kind of harsh, isn't it? If we practice those things, we're not going to inherit the kingdom. The key word on this verse is practice. The Greek word translated practice is the word praso, which means to perform repeatedly or habitually. So this is not just something that happened here and there. You got a habit of it. And see, there's only two answers for that. You are either not born again, or you are in bondage. If you're not born again, you need salvation. And if you are saved and you find yourself repeatedly doing one of these works of the flesh or many others that are not mentioned here, then you need deliverance. And so I'm going to quit here because I need to be delivered from this pulpit. We will continue next time with the positive aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, because it is by the fruit of the Spirit that we can fulfill the law that God required us to fulfill. And that's not by keeping the law, but by walking in love. We'll do that. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for their patience. And Father, I pray that as they go out, they would think about these negative things, Lord. And that, Lord, if we find ourselves repeatedly falling in an area, Father, may we do further research into our hearts and allow you to bring the conviction that is needed, and so that we can ask for the help required to deliver us, Father. And I thank you. I bless you, people. In Jesus' name, amen.